Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Howdy.
Hey, we've got a big, big show lined up for you tonight. I wanted to make a quick mention. If you have not yet tuned into one of the live video streams, this would be a great one to check out. We are one more week off of doing Holzer Files, and I'll be back to doing the Holzer's Ghosts next week. We'll start re-examining some of the episodes from season one that we didn't get a chance to do in Holzer's Ghosts. So we will wrap up those. I think there's five or six episodes left. Plus, we've got a special episode we're going to be doing on Amityville. I'm in the final throes of getting everybody on board. But tonight, we're going to talk about Ed Gein, the real psycho, the haunting and the ghosts of Ed Gein. Cindy Kaza, Steve Shippey will be my guests. The new documentary special is on Discovery Plus, Ed Gein, the real psycho. This is an interesting storyline. I've always been fascinated by Ed Gein, his story. And, you know, again, for people that don't realize how many people or how many fictionalized characters are based on him, Leatherface. You've also got, of course, Norman Bates probably being the most famous of all of them, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal Lecter, the character of Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs with Hannibal Lecter, rather. It's a fascinating story, and for the first time in history, Steve Shippey, Cindy Kaza were given full access to Ed Gein's farm, to the place where his house once stood, and they do a full-on investigation. It's crazy. They get some amazing evidence and stories out of this. So, it's on Discovery Plus. Go watch it today, then tune in tonight for our live video stream. And you can find it on our Darkness Radio YouTube page. Go to Darkness Radio on YouTube. And then when you're there, just click the reminder so that you don't forget. Better yet, subscribe and hit the little bell. That way, every time a new video is put up, you're alerted to it. But we will be going live tonight, 9 p.m. Central. That's 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And we will be discussing the ghosts of Ed Gein. That's tonight on the program. This will be also an audio-only program tomorrow, right here, so you'll find it where you always find Darkness Radio. That's pretty exciting. Joining us today, Tim, as I said, we've got some Holzer Files episodes that we have not tackled from season one.
Mm-hmm.
One of them at the Lambert Castle in, I can't remember if it's New York or New Jersey off the top of my head, but we'll find out in a few minutes, I'm sure. And we had a chance to meet some really interesting people during the filming of that show. And one of them, Barbara David, she was the woman that had this unbelievable connection with this castle, this historic structure. That was the episode we actually did a past life regression on camera to try to ascertain what her connection is with this place, why she's connected to this place, and find out more of the story. Well, turns out that Barbara is also related to a very prolific and proficient psychic medium as well. And we've become friends since the year and a half that we filmed the episode there. She's joining us today to talk about all things supernatural, spiritual, and her gifts. We have from Halo Readings, Denise Marie, psychic medium, is with us today. Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave, for having me.
It was, I want to ask you, just kind of going back, your aunt, did you know she was even filming that episode when she did it, or did you not know until it was closer to airtime?
Yeah, I didn't know until it was closer to airtime. I'm like, wait a second, that's Aunt Barbara.
Had she been open with you about her story and this ghostly connection she had with the castle?
I didn't know about that story, and if she told me about it, I don't remember. I might have been young, but I do know that a lot of my family has gifts, so I wasn't surprised at all. And I knew she was writing a book, but I didn't realize it was about that experience.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, she is definitely interesting. And to have that moment, for people that did not see that episode, go back and check it out. It's on Discovery Plus. It was in season one. We visit Lambert Castle, and Barbara David had this unusual connection. I mean, deeply unusual connection with this location. And we did, we brought in a very skilled technician, a hypnotherapist, Damian Bertrand, who who brought her back. And, you know, I have my reservations and skepticism towards past life regression, because if you already feel a connection, do you, you know, suddenly leap into that lifetime? And I was kind of waiting for your aunt to do that. I was waiting for that to be the go-to, but it was really fascinating. We couldn't show the full thing. It was like 90 minutes to 2 hours long, where she actually visited two or three different lifetimes before she even got to why we believe she was connected to Lambert Castle. Oh. And yeah, that was pretty weird. And the spirits, while Damian Bertrand was doing the past life regression, at one point he stops and turns around because he could hear somebody talking behind him. There was nobody in the building. All of us were outside in our vehicles, parked far away so that there would be no contamination, so Damian could do his thing. And that was really a cool episode to see kind of play out, and these connections that we have. You've got this ability. How long have you known that there was something a little special about what you could do that not everyone is as tapped into or aware of?
I think I was around four. That's as far back as I can remember. I do remember being 4 years old, standing in my living room, looking up at the ceiling and seeing things that nobody else could see. What was I seeing?
Yeah. What type of things were you seeing?
So I can physically see spirit with my eyes. I don't see them in my mind's eye. I actually see them physically. So what they do is they literally manifest in front of me, but they look like sort of a photo negative. They don't look like opaque, like a human.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was seeing these things, and my family didn't, I guess they didn't get it or didn't believe me until I was around 10. And when I saw the mother of my grandmother's second husband, who had passed before I was even born, and I saw her and described her, and my uncle looked at my mother and said, "That's Jean's mother. She died like 20 years ago." So then they knew, oh my God, she's got some. And they knew I wasn't crazy.
How did you feel seeing these things, knowing that nobody else was seeing them and that they were, you know, it sounds like politely dismissing you up until that aha moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did I feel? I felt very alone. I felt like a weirdo. I felt isolated. I felt strange. And I felt like I didn't fit in.
Did you deal with a lot of depression and anxiety because you had these abilities and no real way to do anything about it?
I don't know if it was depression. I mean, looking back now, hindsight, maybe there was a little bit of depression because I would get sad and I did feel very alone. But I just became such an introvert. Like, I just like to stay home, and I wasn't like one of the cool kids. I was very awkward and people made fun of me, and I just never fit in school and, you know, anywhere I went, even with, like, you know, my family, my cousins, like, I just felt like I just wasn't like them, and they knew it. And it wasn't like in a good way.
So not only do you feel kind of isolated and insulated from your own family, like a stranger amongst loved ones,
Yeah. You're
seeing dead people, you're seeing things. And are these spirits aware that you can see them, or are you just kind of keeping your mouth quiet and your eyes down?
Well, for a long time before, I'm sure that they were aware and knew that I had an ability to see them. But when I was small and I refused to look because I was scared, and I used to bury my head under the blanket and say the Our Father, they used to shake my bed, like physically shake my bed. And I know now, like back then I was scared, but I know now they weren't trying to scare me. They were just trying to get my attention. And you know, I would tell my mom, we lived on the third floor in a side street in Newark, New Jersey. I told my mom my bed would shake, and she's like, "Oh, it's just the trucks going by." And there were no trucks going by, you know. And now she tells me, "Well, I knew what was going on. I didn't want to scare you, you know." So she knew this all along.
Well, by she understood, does that mean that she knew about your gifts, or that she believed you the whole time? I mean, what exactly was her definition of she knew what was happening to you.
She knew because I would tell her, but I don't think that she really got the whole, like, where the brick hit her in the head moment until I brought through my grandmother's husband's dead mother. And I described her because she was sitting right next to me. And I described this woman head to toe, what she was wearing, what her face looked like, her hair, blah, blah, blah. I didn't hear the spirit. I just was looking at her, describing like I was looking at a picture. And I never knew who this woman was. So they, you know, that was the aha moment. And my mother, she always knew, but I don't know if she really believed me until that very moment. And then I found out later on that my mom also has a gift. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Now, I mean, is this gift similar? Does she see and hear things as well?
Yes. Yes. She physically sees them too, which is not really common.
Well,
you know?
let me ask you then, if you're able to see and you tap into this kind of distant relative, why is your mom, who's also gifted, not seeing the same thing?
She sees them, but she sees them in an instant. So because she hasn't trained herself or taken classes, and, you know, God gives you the tools, you do have to sharpen those tools. You know what I mean? You have a natural gift, but you do have to work on that gift to be able to develop that gift, to be able to be a help to the world. You know what I mean? So my mother's not trained. You know, she just sees them. It's like an instant. Me, I can actually see them and hold the link. You know what I mean? Because I've been trained to do that. So, you know, before, when it used to happen to me, it used to happen out of nowhere and just spontaneously, like it does my mother. But when I wanted to do this and come out to the world and say, I'm going to own this gift and I'm going to step into my purpose, and it was very scary, but I knew this is what I had to do. The first thing I learned was that I can turn it on and turn it off. I just didn't know how. So she doesn't know how either. And I've said to her, Mom, let me work with you. You could be great at this. She's like, nah, I'm good. 70. She doesn't care. You know, she just wants to cook. She's Italian. So let her cook.
You could see the spirits. Would they communicate to you vocally as though, you know, they were speaking to you, or was it more, would you say, telepathic, that you would hear their voices?
It's literally like charades. So I'm actually writing a book, and my book is called Charades with Ghosts.
Okay.
And yeah, and because that's exactly what it's like. It's literally like charades. They will show me symbols on the wall. They'll show me movies. I'll see like an animated movie. They'll just show me things, pictures, movies, themselves. You know, I'll get letters. I'll get initials. Sometimes I will hear. My strongest sense is the sight, but sometimes I will hear. But even when I hear it, it's not an audible voice. Like, I'm physically seeing, but I'm not hearing an audible voice.
Can you shed some light on? I know I talk to a lot of mediums, and we have through the 15 years of doing the show, but why all the charades and the game playing? I mean, if the spirit is there, why can't they just write out what they want to say to you? Why can't they just speak and let it be, instead of signs and needing to decrypt everything? It just seems like a much longer, more tedious and open to interpretation way to passing on messages.
I always say this, and I'm glad that you brought this up. That's a really good point. And I literally say this because I'm always joking around and stuff. And I'll say this to my clients. It's not like they're going to sit down and have a cup of coffee with us and say, hey, so I'm so-and-so's dad, and my name is John. I says, because if it was like that, we'd be doing this reading on my yacht. Okay. So it doesn't, it's just because it's a frequency, because it's an energy, and you're speaking to an energy. So they're going to use the conduit, the medium, the easiest way that medium knows how. So for me, it's sight. So for a lot of mediums, they might get, you know, images in their mind because they're clairvoyant, but in a different way. They're getting images in their mind. Or some people do hear an audible voice. Some people do go through clairsentience and just feel things and like a clear knowing. You know what I mean? So they use the conduit to the best of that conduit's ability. I don't know why spirit, I guess my only answer to that is the reason why spirit has to go through symbols and other messages to get their message, and the game, like you're saying, is because it's really literally just an energy. It's It's a vibration. It's
right,
not
but
a
all of that energy. I mean, they're showing you movies. They're showing you writing on the wall. They're showing you all the. That just seems like that has got to be such a major expenditure of energy. Whereas if they, you know, just took a ghost pen and ghost paper and wrote, you know, boo, bitch, you would get the message a lot quicker. Right?
I love that. That's why I love you, Dave. That's why I love you.
I mean, to me, that just seems like I can't fathom how they can gather all that energy to send these messages in a certain way that's so chaotic when there seems like by now, you know, I mean, people have been soothsaying and speaking to the spirit realm for millennia. It seems like by now it should be a much easier, more streamlined event.
I think that the reason why it's not that easy is because we'd probably end up having heart attacks. Like, I mean, I don't know what I would do if, you know, if spirit just literally like showed up all opaque looking like you and I and sat down and just started talking to me or writing things on a piece of paper, I'd probably be in shock. You know what I mean? So I don't know if they do that for us humans or, you know, they do that not so we die. You know what I mean? But I mean, they do write things like, for instance, so automatic writing is a form of mediumship. So sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just grab pen to paper or I'll sit there on my computer and I'll start writing paragraphs for social media that when I go back to read that paragraph, I'm like, this was not me because it's way too profound. You know what I mean? And I know I'm not that good, you know, so I'm like, this was not me. So they'll use the conduit in any way possible, but they just, I don't know why they just don't step forward and say, hey, I'm so-and-so's dad. My name's John. You know, that would be a lot easier. And that would be great. I'd be on board for that 100%.
That's got to be extremely frustrating. You know, to have a gift like this, I don't, first of all, I got to give credit to you and others like you that do this and hone that skill because I just don't have patience for, listen, if my kids take too long telling me a story, I've already tuned out, you know, where are you at in this story? My God, all you wanted to know is can I give you a ride to the mall? Just shorten it. What is that what you need to know? You need a ride to the mall. I didn't need to know that it was Katie's birthday and her mom isn't going to be there today because just get to the, I need a ride to the mall. So the whole concept of communicating with the dead that aspect, I think, would drive me bonkers.
What's funny is I have no patience with the living. So right? I'm on board with you and 100%, my friend. And I got a kid. He's 16. So kill me now. All right. But with spirit, I have so much patience with them. And it's such a beautiful experience for me that I could live in that moment forever with them. And they can take their time with me. And it's not frustrating anymore. You know what I mean? It's like such a different energy than human. It's just like you feel that calm love. You're like surrounded by all this love. It's really beautiful. So I guess I always tell everybody I prefer the dead any day of the week because the living can be very trying. And the dead they're just nicer. They're just nicer and kinder.
With that said, have you had bad experiences communicating with the dead?
I haven't. Okay. No. And I'll tell you, and I have a lot of friends who are mediums. I have a lot of friends who are paranormal. I have a lot of friends that have had experiences that I just don't have for some reason. And I don't know why. And I did an investigation with my cousin's paranormal group at the S.K. Pierce Mansion in Massachusetts. Now, I never even heard of this place. They didn't tell me the name of it before I went. I work better knowing nothing. I don't even want to know your friggin' name if I'm giving you a reading. Don't say a word. Just let me go in. Because I am human. I don't want to get in my own head if I know too much ahead of time. I just don't want to know anything. So I didn't know where this place was. Literally put it in my navigation, drove 4 hours, went there, did the investigation for like 6 hours straight. And with one pizza break and when I brought through so many spirits and the person that runs the mansion was validating everybody that I was bringing through over the centuries. She's like, this is so-and-so, this is his wife, blah, blah, blah. Cause I was telling her who I was seeing in the messages that they were giving me, not knowing who the hell these spirits were. Okay. When I got to the hotel that night, I looked up SK Pierce Mansion and it said it was the second most haunted place in Massachusetts. And I looked at my boyfriend and I was like haunted. You know what I mean? Like, I had the loveliest experience with these spirits. They were lovely. I wasn't scared. They weren't haunting anything. Some people just, humans go to the negative first. And I tell everybody this, I'm like, you're a woman, you have a new dress on, you just got your hair done, you walk into a party. Two girls look at you and immediately start whispering. What's the first thing you think of? They're talking crap about you.
Right, right.
Okay, right? They're talking about me. What are they doing? They're making fun of me. They could be saying, oh my God, look at how pretty her dress is. But we always go negative first. People go in their basement and they're scared and they think their house is haunted when it's their sweet old grandmother just making sure you're doing the laundry okay. You know what I mean? So I feel like humans just go to that place first before thinking that it could be something beautiful.
I get that aspect of it. I just, and I often tell people too, when they reach out terrified about whatever they're dealing with, let's break this down. What's scaring you about it? And once sometimes they get that outsider's look, they realize that it's really nothing terrifying. It's not like horror movie stuff where, you know, their skin is peeling off in the mirror or bugs are crawling out of their eyes. It's more alarming. And then once they learn to accept that and just, you know, it becomes a little bit more easy to deal with. But sure. if you're dealing with a location that's so haunted and there's so much going on, like a hospital, a prison, you know, someplace you think would be the last place on earth your spirit would go to or want to stay. Why do we find those hauntings taking place in such a way that they are in locations you wouldn't want to be in alive, let alone dead? Why do you think spirits choose or maybe not choose to stay in those locations?
I don't think that they stay. I think that they come in and out because it's a familiar place and they might be attached to that place's energy, but spirit can move at the speed of thought. So if your grandmother passed, she could be with you. She could be with your siblings at the speed of thought. She could just be in and out, and because there's no time on the other side. And I just feel like, you know, they might be, you know, there because their energy is attached somehow to that place and it's familiar to them and it feels good and it's a memory and they want the spirit. All they really have are their memories. That's what they take with them. They only take their memories and they just take love with them. They have no other human emotion. So I just feel like maybe they love that place and they're attached to it in some way. And it's a beautiful experience for them. And they just stay, but they don't really stay.
But in a prison, are you saying that? So is it the full essence of who we are that stays there, or is it just a particle of that person? Because again, I can't guess that people stay in a mental ward or, which I know is not politically correct, but I'm trying to put that out into the concept of, you know, an asylum feel as opposed to just a hospital where they might've loved working or loved living out their last few years. But, you know, in an asylum, a prison, I can't see that there's gotta be good feelings there. That's gotta be so horrific.
That's a good point. That is a good point. But also when those things are happening, you know, there are people around or cameras around to witness these things. And the other side will stop at nothing to let you know that they are still around. Like, they really do want to make it known to people. I don't know if you realized how spirituality has become such a thing and how people are so much more open now to the concept of the other side and it more than ever. Okay. So I feel like spirit knows their audience. They know when to appear and when not to appear. And if there's a camera on a place and nobody's there, but the spirit, and spirit does something because they know that the living is going to somehow see that on camera, they're getting their message across that they are around. You know what I mean? And them like knocking stuff over or playing with lights, that's just a way of getting noticed. They want to be noticed. It's not like they're like being secretive. Shh, don't tell them I'm here. No, they want you to know that they're there. So again, people get frightened by that because it's like, well, why are they knocking this stuff off the wall? Well, because nobody's there and they want them to see this on camera, or they want them to be seen. You know what I mean? They want to be seen. They want to be noticed. They want to be known. We are here. This is their job. Their job on the other side is to teach the living that they're not gone. So that's why they bring evidence of that. That's their way of bringing evidence. I'm not gone. We don't die.
Right. But you would think, you know, most of us have been brought up to believe we go somewhere after death, that this is not the end all be all, that there is a heaven or there's an afterlife, there's a whatever. But yet people stay here. I've wondered, and as a medium, what are your concepts of this? Do you know, we've got this influx now of paranormal being so globally popular. Mm-hmm. Are we somehow tethering these spirits here because of our want and desire to communicate with them? Whereas,
absolutely.
You know, we don't see many ghosts from different time eras, but we do see specific ghosts because this is what people are expecting. Are we holding these spirits here more often than letting them go?
Because like I said, there is another side. The other realm is literally 3 feet from the ground. So when people look at the up at the sky and talk to their loved ones, they're not really up at the sky. And heaven is a state of mind or a state of being. Okay. It's not literally a place. It's just another state. A being. And so when,
hey, wait a minute, Belinda Carlisle told us that heaven is a place on earth. Don't you tell me that my favorite bagel lied to me.
I love that song. I love that song. That's great. She lied. No, I'm just kidding. So, so I do feel, no, we're not holding them here. They have free will just like we do. We're not holding them anywhere. We're not disturbing their peace by wanting to communicate with them. They can come in and out at the speed of thought. It's not a big deal to them. And like I said, they want to be known. They want us to know we don't die. Spirit will literally step forward and show me what you had for dinner. Like they'll show me to my, this is why are they showing me this? They're showing me you hanging curtains. Oh my God, I was just hanging curtains this morning. Well, Spirit's letting you know they're seeing you do this. They have to prove their existence in your life now. You know what I mean? Like I'm here now, or they'll show me a moment where the husband was on their knees on the bed while they had already passed, and he was like praying and crying and holding onto her hand after she passed. And she's telling me, I saw him do this. Please let him know I saw him. And she was already dead at that point. So that's the way they let us know they're still around. That's the message. The message is we're not gone. We're still here living among you.
Is it overwhelming for you if you visit a hospital, or even a cemetery for a funeral? Are you overwhelmed by the spirits that reside there and are walking around?
No, because I only turn it on when I want to. And there are times where, like, I mean, I can live a normal life. If I didn't have that switch, I wouldn't be able to live a normal life. I've heard people say, I can't turn it off. Bull. Okay. Yes, you can. Okay. You just don't want to. I want to turn it off so I can have a normal life. And when I turn it on, it's literally just autopilot. It's autopilot. But I've had spirit kind of step through when I wasn't exactly turning it on. But if I don't want to approach that situation at that moment, I just tell them not now, come back at another time, you know, because I have to have boundaries. If somebody walks in on the bathroom with you, you're on the bowl, you're going to the bathroom. Somebody walks in, you're going to be like, hey, I'm in here. You got to go. So you could tell spirit the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell are you doing? I'm in the bathroom.
Well, do you ever find yourself in a compromising position where spirit decides to suddenly pop in? I would guess that would be like, you know, okay, maybe ghosts are around us all the time. I'm glad I don't have the gift, because if I'm in the middle of going to the bathroom or you know, an intimate moment with my partner, to look over and my grandfather's shaking his head, judging me poorly for my skills, that would destroy me. But are we really surrounded at all times by spirit? And if so, does that mean the spirit can see us as well?
They can. And we are surrounded, but I mean, they give us our privacy. They're not creepers like that. So they're not there while you're having your intimate moments with your wife. They're just not creepers like that.
Don't believe it, Tim. They're sitting there in bleachers with popcorn. Somebody's selling spectral hot dogs watching you.
I hope I'm putting on a good show. I mean, I hope the technique is good. I hope I get a good score. That's all I hope.
Well, the judge from Sweden gave you a 6. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Ooh, that is not good.
Not at all. You see, that unnerves me. But when you're seeing, I guess, you say you have to turn it on. When you turn it on, is it suddenly like a TV? Do you suddenly see tons of ghosts inspectors, or do you just see the one closest to you, the most prevalent or powerful? How do you?
So it depends. Sometimes when I'm doing a reading, I'll see one person, and then all of a sudden I'll see another one behind them, and then I'll see three more behind them, and then I'll see eight more behind them. So it depends. It depends on how many they are that are coming through. That's never really up to me. I have had experiences where I brought through two spirits and it wasn't the person that my sitter really wanted to hear from. So I said, let me give it a shot. And I asked for that person by name and they did step forward. But I don't think it's like I'm so good that I can make spirits step forward just by calling out their name. I think that that spirit was already there and they just came to, you know, view. So I have seen multiples. I mean, I do large events, you know, in restaurants and stuff. So I see like spirits like just kind of lining up, you know, almost like a crowd of them. So I'll just see their heads, though. It's like head. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, yeah, but they all look like photo negatives. So it's not like seeing like just people.
That kind of communication, seeing that appear before you, are there other entities that you will witness, angels or the demonic, and do they appear to you the same way?
So I've never seen anything demonic. I've seen weird things that I can't explain even to this day. And I'll get to that in a minute, but I did see an angel, physically seen an angel once, and it was literally like a split second, and I can describe it to you like I stared at it for 8 hours, and that was incredible. It was like as tall as the ceiling, so it was like 9 feet tall, 6 feet wide. It was absolutely beautiful, but it was just a second. Another time I was kind of depressed. I was just getting out of a relationship and I saw an orb underneath my kind of like hovering on my ceiling and like started moving towards me. I was laying on my bed and it was like dawn and I'm watching this thing and it started to like, it like was hovering above my head and then lowered itself. I literally thought, this is it. They're coming to get me. I'm going, right? I thought they were taking me. This is it. This is what I prayed for. I'm like, please let me get hit by a bus. And then I'm like, no, I was just kidding. So I'm like laying there and it starts to lower itself. It was a clear orb, like an orb you'd see in a picture. It was clear, but it had a little bit of green to it. And when it lowered itself, I just closed my eyes, Dave, because I was like, I just felt so much peace. I'm not going to lie. And I closed my eyes. I could feel myself like the tears coming down my face. And when I closed my eyes, it was pitch black, like more darkness than I've ever seen. And there was this white spark and it was like flickering and it spoke to me and it said, just take care of your son and everything will be okay. It wasn't anything cryptic. It wasn't anything more than that. It just said, just take care of your son and everything will be okay. But when I opened my eyes, the world was off of me. I felt like I had like this moment of realizing I only have to be a mom because my son was 9 at the time. I just have to be this kid's mother. That's all I have to focus on. Everything is taken care of and I don't have to worry anymore. That's how I felt. And then about a week or so later, my son asked me to take him to an art store. Now, I'm not artistic whatsoever. My son can draw beautifully, but he draws like scary things like or Terminator stuff. I'm not artistic, but when I took him into that art store, I felt compelled to buy a canvas and some brushes and some paints. And all of a sudden, I started painting angels. Out of nowhere, I paint and sell angels. Like it's the most crazy thing. When they're finished, I look at them and I'm like, who did this? My mother will be like, what happened to you? You can't draw. You can't draw stick figures. You know what I mean? But I can draw angels and paint them and they come out beautiful and they end up being bought by people who recognize that angel as, oh my God, she looks just like my mother. Oh my God, she looks just like my sister.
Wow, you know that's very cool.
So it's weird. It's really weird. But like, it's not, I'm telling you, it's like, I don't know how that happens. I guess it's like automatic painting. But the thing that I did encounter, which was very strange, and I wouldn't say it was demonic, but it was definitely weird
And well, hold that right there. Yeah. We'll find out about that when we return. I always like to bait people, force them to come back. We've got more. Denise Marie, our guest, her website, haloreadings.com. You can book a reading with her. You can see the testimonials, see about her courses, everything that she makes available on her website. She also has a YouTube page. We will have a link up to her website and her YouTube page on today's program guide. So make sure you click it and check it out for yourself. When we come back, we'll find out about one of her more unusual moments. We'll do that when we return to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the program. This is Darkness Radio. Folks, there's just a few days left before the Polar Plunge to help raise money and awareness for Special Olympics. If you would like to help out with that, it would mean a lot. We had put up my son, who's a Minnesota firefighter and does the Polar Plunge every year, diving into the icy cold waters here in Minnesota to raise awareness for Special Olympics. He had put up a goal of $10,000. We understand this is a tough year. The most we've ever raised up to this point was $5,000. We are over that, but still below the $10,000. If you find it in your heart to help out these Special Olympians and help out with their training, their travel, and uniforms, and all of the other expenses that go along with the Special Olympics, you can make a donation. Just email me, dave@darknessradio.com, dave@darknessradio.com, and you'll be able to, I'll send you the link. You can make that donation, or you can go to my page at Facebook. Just look me up and Darkness Radio Dave on Facebook, and I've got links for it posted throughout my page. So make sure you click on it and make a donation if you can. Every penny counts to help these awesome Olympians reach their goals. So make sure, if you've got it and you got the time, $1, $5, $10, $100, or like Chris Jericho stepping up big, Tim, from the AEW, $1,000 donation.
That's our guy.
That's our buddy, Chris Jericho. So if you've got it in your heart to do this, reach out, help, and we deeply appreciate it. All right. Our guest today, Denise Marie, she is a psychic medium, and you can find information again on her at haloreadings.com. There's a link for that and her YouTube page on today's program guide. All right. Now, before the break, Denise, we were talking about some of the ways you've seen spirit and even angels that have made themselves known. And now, you say that you don't want to call this thing demonic. Is it because you don't want to give that kind of power to that realm, or because you don't feel this was truly a demonic force?
Yeah, I don't feel like it was truly demonic just because it scared me. You know what I mean? I don't want to go that far and say, oh, my God, it was. All right. So when I tell you what happened, you're going to understand why I say I don't think it was demonic, but it was really kind of freaking me out. So it was around Halloween. I love Halloween. Okay. I was around Halloween. I have this, it's a witch. It's actually a hand puppet, but you can't tell that it's a hand puppet because she's got like a long dress on and she's got a green face with the nose and the little wart on her nose. I got it in Salem about 20 years ago. Okay. She's my favorite Halloween decoration. So I kind of put her, I set her up over a wine bottle. Okay. So I stick a wine bottle up her butt. She sits there and she just looks like she's just, you know, this plushy witch. Right. And it was the middle of the night. I went downstairs to get something to drink. And I had my glasses on, so I can't say that I was just, you know, I couldn't see. I had my glasses on. I was walking up the stairs and something told me to look over the banister at that witch at that moment. I don't know what made me look at her. And I swear to you, her mouth was moving as if she were trying to talk to me. And I looked like three times, like rubbed my eyes, looked again. She did it again, like twice, two, three times. I did that. And I ran up those stairs so fast and I still can't explain it. I don't know what that was.
Had you been drinking the wine before that? That could explain it.
I swear I'm not even much of a drinker. If I drink once a year, it's a lot, like on New Year's Eve. Like, I'm not much of a drinker at all. So very occasional. Yeah.
Something was trying to communicate to you. It unnerved you. See, to me, that's funny. Seeing dead people would be freaky to me. Seeing a plush witch start talking, I would be like, this is so cool. That's
her mouth was moving. I was like, what the heck is happening? And I'm telling you, I looked several times to make sure I wasn't seeing things. You know what I mean? And I'm like, this is weird. And I spoke to a couple of my medium friends about it, and nobody can explain it.
I think I'm going to go out on a limb here. Tim can attest to this. I'm not a psychic. I'm not a medium. I'm completely insensitive. But I believe what the witch was telling you is, get this bottle out of my ass. I could be wrong. I could be. Tim's the same way. If I shove a wine bottle up his ass, all you see is his mouth moving, and he's just so enraged.
Yeah, you know, it's enjoyable for maybe the first 30 seconds to a minute, but the longer it sits there, you probably want it out. So yeah. I would probably say that's what the witch was saying. I think I'll back Dave on this play. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's the best explanation I've heard so far. So I'll take that one.
So you don't have scary moments other than, you know, don't. I mean, with that. Do you believe that the demonic realm is near us?
I don't. I mean, and if they are, maybe I just don't want to because listen, I'm not naive, but I also prefer what I see over any of that. And I really don't want to have any part of that. So maybe that's the part of me that's kind of blocking it. So I don't want to see it doesn't exist, because it might exist for some people who can or are able to see that and are brave enough to see that. I don't think I'm brave enough, so I just kind of push that part away. So it's never happened to me. It doesn't mean that I don't think it exists, but my experience with spirit has been so lovely and beautiful that to me, even murderers that are here on the earth have beautiful souls on the other side. Like, they're not that human anymore, and they see what they've done. So I kind of have a hard time thinking that there's a hell and that there's these demonic things. But you know what? I do believe in a lot of things. I don't believe in fairies. I do believe that there's other life forms on other planets. So I believe in, you know, extraterrestrial and stuff. But it's not that I don't believe in demons. I think I just refuse to acknowledge them. Does that make sense?
It does. But because you have such an affinity and connection with the angelic realm, do you think that they put in a special layer of protection to keep you safe from that?
I sure hope so. Yeah, I'll take that. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Do you ever come across during a reading, right? We all hear it's love and peace and kindness. You know, mostly the spirits come forward with those kind of messages. How often do you get a message that's negative? That's, okay. You know, so, I'm not going to talk to that son of a bitch. Denise, tell him to blow me. I'm not coming out. I'm not talking to him. I mean, does that ever happen? Do you ever get angry ghosts like that?
Well, I never got in anger, because on the other side, they don't possess that characteristic anymore, because they leave that behind with the human body. Anything that's negative with the human, so anything like anger or jealousy or resentment or anything like that is gone. And literally, they just come forth with love. However, spirit is funny as hell. Okay. And one time I was giving this gentleman a reading, he was a new client. I had just opened my business like a year before that. So I was still in my non-cursing, you know, phase, where I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to drop F-bombs, and I'm going to be very conservative. Okay. I was totally like not being myself, because I drop F-bombs all the live long day. So I was being very good and cool and conservative. And his mother came forward, and I was giving him evidence and beautiful messages and described what she looked like. And he was sitting there crying and accepting everything and acknowledging everything. And it was wonderful. And as I was just about to wrap it up, the spirit of his dead mom gave me the finger. Okay. And I was sitting there in shock going, is somebody have a camera on me? Is this a joke? You know what I mean? I'm like, she just gave me the finger, and now I don't know what to say to this guy. Do I tell him she just gave me the finger? Like, here I am trying to be conservative and all love and light, freaking rainbows. And she gave me the finger. So I said to him, I go, listen, because I have to give the information. I can't withhold it. So I said, listen, I don't know how to tell you this. And I have no explanation for it because this has never happened to me before. But your mom just gave me the finger. He was laughing so hard and crying at the same time. He goes, my mother always did that. She did that to me, even on her deathbed. He goes, that was her thing. So if she didn't do that, I would have missed a really clear piece of evidence. You know what I mean? So, but she did. She gave me the finger. Oh, yeah.
Was it? That's got to be kind of right at the moment you're doing that. Is this like, you know, now had she not given such a nice, sweet reading for most of it and you connected and all she did was flip you the bird, would you have passed that message on?
I would have. I absolutely would have. But yeah, so that was pretty much the extent of anything like that. Well, spirit has, like, I mean, I have symbols that are nuts, like literal nuts. Like my symbol for prostate cancer, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to leave you with that, you know? So I have symbols that they show me that people, I could never tell the living what I'm actually seeing.
Oh, you know the way that they, so what you're saying is that you will see, aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, they'll give you a clue. This is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, if they're showing a corkscrew or you shoving the bottle up a witch's butt, that's their idea that they need a proctological exam. But you wouldn't say, hey, I'm seeing a wine bottle going up a witch's butt. That's not the kind of thing that you would take notice of.
No. Okay. No.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you get these images, you relay the messages. Do you ever, you know, we're friends with mediums. There's been a couple of mediums that I've sat with who will tell me, no, I'm not going to show them that. You show me a different way. And they'll kind of almost like they're having a fight with the ghost to try to figure out a better way to share the information they're about to launch into. What, you know, in those instances, what do you make of that? I mean, do you ever question them and say, you know, that's not the way I'm going to relay this?
Well, I question them, but usually afterwards, because mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, okay, one time I was doing a group reading. I had a woman stepping forward. I described the woman. So my one of my sitters in the group took her. So I think that's my neighbor next door. I said, okay, hold on. Don't give me any more information. Let me see what the spirit says. So then the spirit showed me the Star of David. I says, she showed me that she was Jewish. Yeah, she was Jewish. Okay. Then the spirit kept showing me the face of Spider-Man. And I'm going, why is this little old woman showing me Spider-Man? And I couldn't figure it out. I said, listen, I can't make this out. I'm just going to pass it along anyway, because maybe you'll understand it. The messages aren't for me. They're for my sitters. So it's really not for me to understand or dissect. So that's why I just give what I get. And I said, listen, she's showing me Spider-Man. She goes, well, her last name was Spiegelman.
Oh, so, sure.
Yeah. So like that, I was like, wow. Okay. Another time a gentleman stepped forward. He actually told me his name was Michael and I saw his face. The woman next to me said, okay, that's my father. I said, okay, let me see what he says. And he wrote out the word mama in thin air. He wrote out the word mama. And I said, why is he writing the word mama? And she just started crying and she goes, I literally asked him in my head to tell you his favorite Connie Francis song so I would know it was him.
Wow.
So I can't explain like why they do what they do, but I just know that they do it to get the message across to the medium. So now it's up to the medium to say, well, I don't want that symbol. Show me this, because you can somewhat control what you want to see. I don't like to see, like, so if somebody died from a suicide, I don't want to see anything graphic. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah. If somebody died, like when I was at the SK Pierce mansion, I walked past the bathroom and all of a sudden I felt like all the blood was draining out of my body. It was the weirdest feeling in the world, like tingles, but it was like coming out from my arms. And I was like, I feel like I'm losing blood out of my hands. And so Marion, the one who ran the show, she goes, well, a woman slit her wrists in that bathtub that you just walked past. So I'll get feelings of how they died, or I'll see a heart monitor on the wall, or I'll see a pair of lungs. But that's because I asked them, show me lungs if it's cancer or pulmonary embolism or anything having to do with the chest or lungs. Show me lungs. Make me see a heart monitor if you pass in the hospital or pass from the heart. But sometimes spirit will make me feel a sharp pain across my chest and I know it was quick. You know what I mean? So it really depends on the spirit and what they're able to do or what they're better at. You know what I mean? So or what the medium prefers too. So if you've had mediums say, no, don't show me that. I want to see something else. Spirit will show them something else. I've just been okay with what they show me, except anything graphic. I don't want to see anything like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Boy, that's, I don't know. I often think I'd like to have that gift of sight. And obviously, when mediums say we all have the gift, we do. I see things. I've witnessed spirit. I've witnessed things. But I don't feel like it's in the same level to which psychic mediums are experiencing it. It's kind of like I think the ghost is letting me see it. It's not like, oh, it's because I'm tapped in.
Well, but if you wanted to, you could definitely develop that. Because if you can see it, then that means you can see it whenever you want. But you just have to develop that. And it takes a while. But if that's something you wanted to do, you could do that.
People seem really affected by this kind of uptick. You know, Tim, what was it when we first started? Crystalline children, right? And rainbow children. Wasn't that kind of the toggle words at that point, where it seemed like there was this new wave of children with these amazing skills being born?
Yeah, rainbow children, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And is there really something going on, Denise Marie, where we're seeing more and more children being born with more fully developed skills, or are we, has it always been prevalent? It's just, to what level are people accepting of it and willing to train or help those children?
Well, I do think that all children, as along with animals, are, because they're closer to that realm and they're innocent. So children, all children can really see spirit or feel spirit or have like a bigger connection with them than adults do, because they're innocent. They haven't learned skepticism yet. They have an innocent mind. You know what I mean? So it's like they don't know how to be skeptical. So it's easier for them. So I do think all children are able to see and know things because they're one closer to that, because they were just there. You know what I mean? Like, say they're 4 years old, like I was just there 4 short years ago. I was on the other side. So I'm still closer to that. You know what I mean? Also, it's like, I always tell people, if they have a small child, I always say to them, ask your child who they were before they were born to you, and they'll tell you about their past life. So, because they remember, it's almost like having that memory for the first few years of your life, and then it just goes away because we get in our own heads, become a human mind with skepticism, and you know, our own beliefs start to develop, and of course the beliefs of our parents are inflicted on us, and we get trained to be a certain way. You know what I mean? So there's so many aspects of what you're saying, but I do believe that all children have an ability. It might be different. Like, I can physically see. Not every medium can physically see, but they can physically hear or do things better than that. You know what I mean? So I do believe everybody's gift is a little bit different, but I do believe everybody has something.
Is it something that we should be encouraging children? Like, we teach them foreign languages, we teach them, you know, sign language to communicate. Should we be teaching them from an early age to develop this skill?
I personally would, and be open about it, so they're not afraid, only because of what I went through as a child. Now, when my son told me at 5 years old that he saw my great grandmother and great grandfather, and he described them to me, I was like, I believed him immediately before he even described them, because I was like, he must have a gift, and he is five, so he's closer to that realm. I believed him and told him, don't be afraid. You can literally tell them to leave if you don't want them there. And he would do that. He would say, Ma, I saw somebody in my room and I did what you said. I asked them to leave and they're gone. So it helped him. He was able to sleep in his bed and not be scared. You know what I mean? So I'm very open with my kid, and not everybody wants to do that. And of course, religion plays a huge part. It depends on what religion you are. Like, I know from spirit, more of what I've learned, I've learned from spirit. not just great teachers here in the physical, but from spirit, I know there's no religion on the other side. But here we have religion that divides us. So it's like, if you're a Christian, you're not going to tell your child, yes, there's spirits. You're going to be like, no, that's the devil. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. That's bad. The Bible says we shouldn't do that. You know, I'm a Catholic, you know, I guess I'm a little more lenient because I'm spiritual. So I did want to teach him, you know, how to accept it and know that there are spirits here. So I think it's a great idea, but really it's as a parent, it's totally up to them.
I'm, you know, I get probably emails. I can't even tell you, probably 3-4 times a week, people dealing with children that have these gifts and they just don't know where to find help to teach these children properly. You know, I mean, what advice do you have to parents to do it so that the kids are learning and they're not instilling fear in their children? And, you know, I mean, what's your take on something like that?
Treat the spirit like their family. Talk to them like you, like they're in the room. Make them a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I would say. That's what I told my son, you know, they like when you talk to them, make them a part of your life, leave an empty chair on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like make them like they're a part of your life. Just treat them, you know, blend with the spirit world. You know, that's how I would do it to start. And then when the child is older, obviously, you know, and they wanted to develop that gift, you know, take them to training or give them proper training or bring them to a teacher who can develop their gifts. You know, there's so many of them, you know, read books, have them read books, you know, like there's so, and free learning, YouTube, really? Like we didn't have that. We didn't have that option, Dave. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure we're close to the same age. So I, you know, I think YouTube is a gift, you know, for free learning. So, you know, just do your homework, do your, you know, investigate it, see, you know, what's out there.
What has been the biggest takeaway from your gift that you would say you've got to this date?
I learned how to leave my ego at the door. I learned that it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about spirit, being the messenger, being the voice for the voiceless, and helping the living understand that they're not gone, that we really don't die, that the spirit is infinite and lives on, and they are with you, and they see you eating tacos on Tuesday. And you know what I mean? Like they are with you. They're still very much with you, and spirit does not miss us. And I know that sounds crappy. Spirit doesn't miss us because they're with us. So I always say this. This is one of my, I came up with this slogan or whatever you want to call it. We get time while they get freedom. So we're left here with time without them, and they're free, and they can be around us anytime they want. You know what I mean? So it's tough, but that's really the way it is. But my biggest lesson was to leave my ego at the door. It's not about me proving, oh, I have an ability, I have a gift. It's not about that at all. It's just about giving the message and giving evidence that they're never gone. That's all I have to do.
But once we die, is there a certain pathway we take? Do we stay here on Earth for a short time to kind of see the ramifications of our life and what it would be like now without us? Do we just, you know, because there's earthbound spirits that haven't crossed over, then you have spirits that crossed over, then you have reincarnation. And do you know how the hierarchy and transcendence works? And could you explain it to us?
I know that you have a choice. I know that you have a choice to go to the other side with your loved one that comes to get you, or you have a choice to stay earthbound, or you have a choice to reincarnate. I know that it's all free will. That I do know. So, but I do know that, you know, spirit does come and get you. I don't know about a light or anything. I mean, I've seen so many different things from spirit where they've shown me the person that came to get them. so I can tell that living person, this is what they look like. They came to take them to the other side. And that person knows who that other person was too. But they've shown me, like, I've seen different ways of it. I've seen like a long hallway with a door at the end. I've never seen a tunnel. You know, I've never seen that from spirit. So, but I'm assuming there's something that everybody sees. It might be a different experience, you know, per person. But I do believe that we have a choice to stay earthbound if we want to. And some people want to. Some people want to go to the other side right away because it's nice over there and they can build a house and do whatever they want to do and help the living. You know, some people want to reincarnate quicker. You know, so it's all free will. Did I lose you?
No, I'm just trying to figure out the way to formulate this question. The spirits that are earthbound, do they ever explain to you why they decided to stay here?
And I've actually never encountered an earthbound spirit.
Really?
Okay. Never. No. But there is a woman that resides in my house that I don't know why the hell she's here. And I can't get her to leave. And I've asked her to leave. And she
but
just
what do you what do you
back.
Consider that to be if it's not an earthbound spirit?
I guess that is an earthbound spirit, but I've never had an earthbound spirit step to me for a reading. I just know this woman's in my house and she doesn't ever leave. Okay. So I'm assuming she's attached to this house somehow, but she doesn't want to go. And I'll see her in my peripheral all the time. If I look at her head on, I can see who she is, but I don't know who she is. She's not attached to anybody or here to give a message to anybody. She's just here. She won't go. It's annoying.
Does she seem to notice you? Does she, you know, does she acknowledge you exist? Or is she there as though you're not even important
to
her?
Yeah, she doesn't acknowledge me. She doesn't acknowledge me, which is another thing. That's why she has to be earthbound. She's not really acknowledging me because she doesn't really need me to give a message to anybody. So she's just doing her thing. This might have been her house. You know what I mean? She's just doing her thing. And it's like, please leave. And she'll leave for the moment, but then she's always back. We'll literally hear footsteps upstairs when nobody's upstairs. My son gets freaked out. He's like, did you hear that? I'm like, yeah, I did. You know? I'm going up there.
How would you tell people is the best way to prepare if they're going to engage the services of someone like you? Is there something that we can do to make the connection better, to get through the people we're hoping to hear from?
So I always say, talk to your loved ones out loud in the car ride on the way here. Talk to them out loud. Tell them who you would like to show up. Don't give special instructions to spirit. Just let it happen as they want. Because I've had people try to challenge me and I've gotten through the challenge, although I really can't stand that because it's annoying to me because I'm like, oh my God. Because again, my ego's at the door. I told you I left it at the door, but now I have to try and prove something to you. I don't want to have to do that. I just want to be in the zone and talk to spirit. So I always tell people, don't put high expectations on spirit. Just let the messages come through. But you can talk to your loved ones in the car on the ride over. Tell them you want them to show up. Please come. I'd really love to see you and hear from you. And then when my client sits in front of me, I do have them take a deep breath. And I do explain for a few minutes how it's going to work, how it works for me, what my gift is about, what you can expect, what not to expect. I tell them, listen, if you're going to sit there quietly and not give me and not acknowledge the spirit that I have for, please do not wait for Jesus Christ himself to climb off the cross to sit there and tell you that I'm talking to your father. I says, because we'll be here all day and I don't have that kind of time. So, but I tell them, just take a deep breath and close your eyes and think of something that brings you pure joy. What brings you the most joy? It could be a person, a place, or a thing. When you think of something that brings you joy, it opens your heart. Your heart is open now. So if your heart's open, it's easier to receive the messages. You know what I mean? I've been very lucky with clients who have never even been with a medium before and it was their first time and I popped their cherry and they've been so open and like just graceful. I've also had clients who've been to other mediums who, when their Uncle Al steps forward, they're like, well, why the hell is he here? I didn't even like him. Tell him to leave. And then I get annoyed with the living because I'm like, no, you're going to be graceful to spirit because he just wanted to say hello. And they have the heart. And humans are like shitty. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, and that's why I'm like, spirit is so nice. They're so kind. You know, you might not have gotten along in the living, but they're not a human anymore. They don't have those human characteristics that we do.
Right. Yeah. People are often upset by the fact that they don't get a visitation or the person that they hope to communicate with did not come through. Right. You know, because that leaves a lot of people feeling unsettled, like maybe their loved one is mad at them or something else.
Yeah, and I always explain, they're not mad at you. It's just that spirit will give you what you need, not necessarily what you want. So sometimes the message isn't even for the person sitting in front of me. Sometimes the message is for their best friend or for their mother. You know what I mean? Sometimes they get to end up being the messenger, and then it's like a domino effect. Spirit works like they're opportunistic. Spirit is opportunistic, and they will find their way to get their message, even if it's through somebody else that's looking for somebody else to come through. But what I always like to do is I like to see who comes through first. And then if I didn't get the person that you were looking to hear from, I just ask for that person by their first name. And it's been 99% successful. That has nothing to do with me. Okay. Because spirit was already there. They were just allowing the other people to go forward first. But spirit will give you what you need, not necessarily what you want or what somebody else needs through you. You know what I mean? So that's how it works.
I gotcha. If people come in for a reading and, you know, I mean, they don't get communication, does that ever happen? Do you, where like no spirits want to come forward?
No, that, thank God, knock on wood. That's okay. Never happened. You heard me knocking, right? That has never happened. Thank God that has never happened. No, that has never happened. There was one time I did a group reading and a woman came up to me at the end and she says, I'd really like to talk to my son. And I felt for this woman. So I tried to bring her son through and nobody stepped forward. But then I found out afterwards, she didn't know if her son had passed away because he was missing. So, but that spirit never stepped forward. So I'm assuming he wasn't dead. But that's the only time that's ever happened. Thank God.
Going forward, the world seems to be in a new spiritual paradigm. You know, spiritualism is cyclical. It seems to, you know, rear its head every 20 or 30 years for a decent cycle and then fades. We're now going on almost, you know, 21 years since, you know, 9/11, when it seemed to reawaken people's interest in spirituality and understanding what comes forward. Do you see this tapering off, or do you think this is going to just become the normal, the supernatural, the paranormal, just being part of our regular lives now, as opposed to the past of where it was more kitschy and you know, like parlor trick games?
Right. I definitely see it getting more accepted. And I see people opening up more and becoming more spiritual and realizing, like, almost, I see everybody kind of blending with the spirit world, like accepting it and it just becoming like norm for us. I don't think we're going to go backwards. I don't think this was a fad. I don't think that people are just on board because it's like the next hip thing. I think people are really starting to realize and go to mediums more often and learn. And now people want to develop gifts that they thought they had, but maybe other people told them they were nuts or they didn't know what they had. And now all of a sudden they're like, you know what? I think I might have a gift. And people are starting to develop that. People are coming out of the spiritual closet more with the gifts that they never told anybody they had. Because everybody has something, right? Some kind of gift. And if it's not a supernatural thing, or a gift of mediumship or psychic, or all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. But if you have some kind of gift like that, but not everybody has that same gift. Some people have the gift of being a really good athlete. It's just natural to them. Or some people have the gift of teaching, you know, underprivileged children, you know what I mean? Or you know, right, what I mean? Some people have gifts with kids and, you know what I mean? And special needs and, you know what I mean? Like some people just have natural teaching gifts. And they just have, you know, or natural therapists helping, you know, empathic, helping the living, you know what I mean? So everybody has something. But yeah, to answer your question, I think we're all going to be more it's going to even get bigger than ever.
Very cool. Well, I hope it does. I hope people are willing to embrace and understand the world around us and the supernatural and be open to it. Just in leaving together now, Denise, if people are on that religious pathway, but they're fascinated with communication and they want to know that there's something more than just the words of a clergy person, and they're struggling with that inner dynamic of, do I talk to a medium? What is your response to somebody like that, that's fearful that they may be doing something wrong by engaging somebody with your abilities?
Well, I've had people approach me who were religious and saying, I've heard that this is wrong. People have told me that this is wrong. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to. And then I simply take time out of my schedule to explain to them there is no religion on the other side. Religion segregates humans. And spirit is not segregated. So we're all one on the other side. So there is a God, but God is a state of however you make him, her out to be. Like, you know, I always think of God as a man and like this giant person that nobody can ever see, but really God is just an energy. You know, it's the universe, it's the source. So there is God, but you know, the higher creator, but there's no religion because religion segregates. So it's just all love. Their religion is literally just love. When spirit steps forward, and sometimes they do this, they don't do it often because it's very overwhelming for me physically. They'll make me feel how much love they have for that sitter in front of me. And it like comes out of my pores. Like I can't contain all of that love in my human body. There's no way. It's overwhelming. It's almost too much. You know, so I explain just like that to the person, and I leave it up to them because you can only come when you're ready to come. I would never force somebody to get a reading. I would never be in the supermarket and shove somebody's dead father down their throat. I would never do that. That's unethical to me. I wait for people to come to me. And if you feel it, then come, you know, and I'll sit there and take time to explain it to you so you're not afraid and so you don't think you're doing anything wrong, you know, but you have to feel it and you have to want to be. You have to want that.
And the last question I'll pose to you is, what do you want to tell people that fear death?
So,
and dying, I know these aren't easy stories. No, these aren't easy questions to answer.
No,
but
I could talk about this for 24 hours straight with you. I love every question you've given me, and you have not stumped me yet because I'm so happy to be here and answer these questions. So thank you. That's a great question. And I would tell people who fear death, honestly, it's going to feel like you're blinking your eyes. That's it. You're blinking your eyes and that's it. You're on the other side. So, I mean, while sometimes the actual act of the way you die can be somewhat awful, okay? I do have one quick story. I had a spirit of a little girl. She was 11 years old, step forward for my sitter. It was the girl. It was the woman's niece. I didn't know it was her niece. She didn't come and saying, I'm her niece. She didn't do that. I just brought through the spirit of an 11-year-old girl who was kidnapped, raped, and murdered. Okay. The little girl told me that she was taken. Her soul was taken before her human had to endure what she went through. So she didn't have to experience that. So sometimes we don't get to experience that awful death. Our spirit's already gone and we're really not conscious of what's going on, even though nobody else can tell. Okay. But just blink your eyes and open them. Close your eyes for a second and then open them. That's what death is like. And there's nothing to be afraid of because the spirit is infinite. It never dies. Energy doesn't die. It's just your human body. We can't sustain this human body for more than 100 years because it gets old, it gets withered, it, you know, it gets tired, it gets beaten down, and it just...
Yeah, I'm having a hard time at 54 years. You want me to go another 46? Good
hey,
God.
I'm 49, and I feel you, buddy. I feel you. I'm still on the good side of 50, though. But so the human body can't sustain, but the spirit lives on and, you know, reincarnates, and it's an infinite cycle. It never ends. That's what I tell people.
Denise, thank you so much. Are you open? I know a lot of the mediums are booked months and months out. I mean, do you have spots that if people are looking to make connections right now, they can contact you?
I definitely
do it by phone, by Skype, by what?
I do phone readings for people all over the world, and I do in-person readings for people who are local to Hawthorne, New Jersey. And as long as you're COVID-free, obviously. But I do have some openings, and you'll always find a spot, you know. And if you can't find a spot, my number is on the website, and you can always call me, and I'll make room.
Fantastic. So, again, the website, haloreadings.com. It's in today's link along with her YouTube page. Denise, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for coming on and shedding some light on these different topics and subjects, and we'd love to chat with you again in the future.
I would love that, and thank you both so much for having me.
It's been our pleasure. All right, folks, remember tonight, live video stream, Steve Shippey, Cindy Kaza. We're going to talk about the ghosts of Ed Gein on our special little live video presentation. You can find that on our Darkness Radio YouTube page. You can find it on our social media pages and links to watch them there as it takes place live. Remember, if you miss it, you can watch the replays on those social media pages as well. Otherwise, the audio will be available tomorrow right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. For that guy, I'm this guy. You've been listening to Darkness Radio.